Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, and the Word is the way to life. Well, who is the Word? Well, it's Jesus manifested in the flesh, and He come in the flesh to show us the way to have life and how we can have it more abundantly. Well, there's another fellow that God put into the world that can give us some wisdom and thinking and acting and all kind of stuff, because he also experienced the real world, and his name is Solomon. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and we've been studying it. We're in chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 20. We're fast approaching chapter 12, where Solomon will give us his thoughts and conclusion about this life that he found as the teacher. Hear God's word, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 20. New Living Translation. It's pleasant to listen to wise words, but the speech of fools bring them to ruin. Since fools base their thoughts on foolish premises and promises, their conclusions will be wicked madness. Foolish people claim to know all about the future, and they tell everybody the details. But who can really know what's going to happen? Fools are so exhausted by little work that they have no strength even with the simplest task. Oh, destruction is certain for the land whose king is a child whose leaders feast in the morning. Happy is the land whose king is a noble one and whose leaders feast only to gain strength for their work, not to get drunk. Well, the teacher says laziness lets the roof leak and soon the rafters begin to rot. A party gives laughter and wine and gives happiness, and money gives everything. Oh, never make light of the king, even in your thoughts, and don't make fun of a rich man either. A little bird may tell them what you have said. It's interesting. I have a commentary in my Bible about verse 18. Laziness lets the roof leak, and soon the rafters begin to rot. Well, I didn't pay attention to our roof, and I suffered the consequences. But anyhow, I digress. A leaky roof is uncomfortable, that's for sure, but not life-threatening. Or is it? You see, left an unattended leak will eventually rot the rafters and the soffits, and threatening the integrity of the entire building. And if the building collapses while we're inside, then the leak was life-threatening. You see, neglect of the soul usually begins with one small leak, one tiny little minor sin that we don't want to give up. A bit more effort in prayer or study, we're not willing to expend a small knot of anger that allow us to harden into destructive bitterness. We can't control the weather, but we can repair the roof before the leak ruins our home. In the same way, there's not much that we can do about our spiritual weather of the world. But I love the buts and the ifs. We can tend to our own spiritual life. We need to be careful not to neglect those things that are eternal, such as our soul and our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Well, the teacher may seem to have known many fools and many unjust and irresponsible rulers while he was here on this earth. At least these are the topics that he continues to develop in today's passage in Ecclesiastes 10, verses 12 through 20. The contrast of words of wise and foolish people. He says a wise person's words are gracious and brings them favor, but a fool's words bring them harm. Well, that's also related into Proverbs 14:3. Solomon's point here relates to life's uncertainty. He said, no one knows what is coming, in verse 14. Wise people accept this. Fools prefer to bluster and multiply words to convince themselves that, oh, it's going to be okay. But as a result of their work brings them weariness, and the weariness and frustration of unproductive toil, as their optimistic plans are over-optimistic, and they're derailed by events for which they did not make allowance for. Solomon again takes up the theme of human limitations, particularly our limited knowledge. And the sensible response to our uncertain world is to be modest and cautioned, or should be our plans, because much human effort is unfruitful because it's sometimes misconceived. Wise and foolish are not synonyms for intelligence and stupid. I like that. Intelligent people can persuade themselves to follow unwise plans, can't they? In fact, they can sometimes produce particularly clever arguments in favor of such plans. The teacher, Solomon, now considers a particular category of thoughtless fools, lazy and irresponsible rulers who enjoy the perks of their job, you know, with royal robes and great wealth and lavish medals and without doing the job themselves. Let the roof leak while spending money on fine dining and revelry. Well, I think this might be the root of corruptions. Rulers and officials who care about advancing their own prospects and lining their pockets, they are serving their people. Are they really? Well, such people are a disgrace, and they're deceptive citizens of what is rightfully theirs. Wow. Sometimes somebody said they'd even steal pennies off a blind man's eyes. But they have ears. They are able to punish dissenters, so don't give in to the desire to criticize them. It could be to your detriment, right? Such a desire may be understandable, but it's not wise. You see, in a corrupt regime, informers are never lacking, and the people who advance their cause by reporting others as traitors, I think they call them snitches, Solomon is letting us know that you cannot charm a stake by slapping it. So don't badmouth the king, and don't even think of it. Well, the teacher gives us a lot of things to think about, doesn't he? And he underscores his favorite point. Recognize your limits. Work out what you can realistically hope to achieve, and stick to it. Now, I think this is a course in wisdom. You know, Solomon wrote Proverbs, he wrote Ecclesiastes and that wonderful little Song of Psalms. But he says also, giving way to frustration sometimes and voicing criticism of the king may undermine all that you have worked for. Saying what you really think may be satisfying at the time, but later it'll hurt you and perhaps others as well. So foolish words are never a good idea. What's that old thing that parents used to, hey, think before you speak, you know, or what comes up comes out. That's not good sometimes. You got to think about it. Have a little bit of discernment, right? Well, Solomon's study today in chapter 10, verses 12 through 20 suggests that the sensible response to this uncertain world that we live in is to be modest and cautious of our plans. But are modesty and caution Christian virtues? Do we need to do that? What about attempting great things for God? Nothing wrong with that, is there? So if criticizing an unjust regime is an unwise response, what would be a wise response? Or better yet, what would be a good Christian response? Think about that. Well, Solomon has given us a lot to think about over these last many weeks as we've been looking at it. And we thank God for that, but you know, prayer is a wonderful thing. God has given us the ability to communicate with Him and Him to us with the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. So we also conclude this little segment with the prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples. We have a lot of people listed on our prayer list at church, and you can click on the slides on the website for the pastor's thoughts, and it'll bring up all the people that we have listed, ones that we know about. But we also, when we come into a prayer of agreement with and for, we also know there's many that we don't know about. God hears those prayers too, because in the name of Jesus, He gives us the ability to know all things in prayer, because He give us direct access to His throne of grace. What a wonderful God that we serve. Amen. And Jesus taught the disciples because they wanted to know how to pray. They realized that he went off by himself to talk to the Father. And they wanted to know how to do that too. Now we normally call this the Lord's Prayer, and it is the Lord's Prayer, but I always like to say, well, this is more importantly a prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples. And we are modern day disciples. So we use this prayer for all of our prayers to line up with. Now Jesus did pray for us in John chapter 17. Go and read John 17 and look at how Jesus prayed to the Father for you and I. But the disciples' prayer says this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful, blessed day, because God loves you, and so do we.